Utah Grizzlies hockey, it's just fun. Follow the Utah Grizzlies on Facebook for the latest on weekend home games and promotions, or visit utahgrizzlies.com for more. Utah Grizzlies hockey, it's just fun.
Now's the time to plan for the 2015 Sundance Film Festival, taking place January 22nd through February 1st. Find out more by visiting sundance.org/festival.
I'm Slug Magazine writer Alex Cragen, and this is Slug Soundwaves, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug, an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, it is one of the oldest independent publications in the United States. Distribution is free. Monthly issues about music, art, action, sports, and subculture. I've been a writer and copy editor for Slug Magazine since 2011. I've been involved in local politics for the last 6 years, ranging from mayoral races and congressional races. Currently, I'm the National Committee Man for the Young Democrats of Utah, State Chair of the Utah Progressive Caucus, and a board member for the Transit Riders Union. Finally, I'm the co-host of the podcast Utah Political Capital, which you should check out at utahpoliticalcapital.com. This episode, we're talking to Senator Jim DeBacus. Jim DeBacus is a Democrat politician from Salt Lake City. Serving as a member of the Utah State Senate, he represents the state's 2nd Senate District, as well as served as the Utah Democratic Party Chair. During his career, he's co-founded the Utah Pride Center in Equality, Utah, and he still works closely with both organizations. In his personal life, DeBacus was married in December 2013 to his partner, Stephen Justinson, after a federal judge ruled the state's same-sex marriage ban was unconstitutional. So, Senator, by the way, thank you for joining
us. Alex, it's a pleasure to be here.
So how's the campaign going?
Well, you know, campaigns are campaigns, and I'm enjoying it. Actually, I enjoy the campaign more than actual governing.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoy going out and meeting people and sitting in their houses and sitting in meetings and talking, and it's just a joyful event for me.
Mm-hmm.
The drudgery of getting up there and watching some of my colleagues make laws, now sometimes that gives me pause, but the campaign part, I love it.
I know. I feel for you on that one. Any crazy campaign stories so far for the session?
Just getting out there and meeting people. I was in Tooele,
mm-hmm.
and it's not in my district, but I was helping a woman who's running for the Senate out there, and I knocked on a door, and a lady looked at me, and she said, "Are you Jim DeBacus?" And I said, "Yeah, I am." She said, "Wow, I watch you on television. I hate you on television." So I said, "Well, I'm sorry to hear that." And we talked for 4 or 5 minutes, and then she paused, and I said, "Well, did I change your mind?" And she said, "I hate you even more in person." And then she smiled and closed the door, and I went on to the next house. So that's the way it is, when you're knocking on doors.
That is interesting. I know. So when people think of elected officials, they usually think of people that are over the age of 40, right? So are there any candidates or elected officials that are considered to be under 40 that you know of or you're aware of?
Well, Ben McAdams is under 40.
Really?
The mayor of Salt Lake County. There are a number. A guy named Zach Robinson is running for the legislature.
I've heard about
40.
Him.
We have Luz Munez, I think, is running. There's a number of candidates that are tremendous that are under 40.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need a whole new generation of young people. We need young people, your audience, your people, to stop thinking about politics as something useless out there, doesn't affect their life, not get involved, and just go out and do other things. And when they think of civic responsibility, they think of more direct action and donating money to good causes like cancer or the homeless or a lot of different ideas. Politics are a way to help change the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish that young people would recognize that our liquor laws are goofy, and they might well get a lot goofier if we don't get young people involved.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the legislature, 70-80% of the legislature, doesn't drink. Most of them have never had a drink in their life. And they're making the liquor laws. And they're appointing the liquor commissioners. Up until recently, none of the liquor commissioners had ever had a drink. We need young people to say, you know what? Enough is enough. I need to roll up my sleeves and get involved in this political process, which I kind of have been thinking really isn't relevant, and it's not part of my life. And when I want to do charitable stuff, I'll go down and help in the homeless shelter, or I'll do something else. That's the wrong attitude. You want to help the homeless shelter with $100 or with a day's work, that's fine. You want millions of dollars to help the homeless people or help with other significant things, get involved politically, and it has a tremendous influence because other people are doing it. Mm-hmm. The people that think you should not be drinking, they are getting involved. People that think that clubs ought to close at midnight and that tuition ought to be much higher than it is, those people are involved. They're out there. They're on the floor of that Senate and in the House and in the governor's office making the rules. Until we get some brave souls, Alex, from your generation, that come on up and get part of the system and change the system, it's not going to go well.
Well, let's talk about changing the system. You've been actually kind of headlining this idea of campaign finance reform in Utah, which, I mean, currently in Utah, there is no such thing as campaign finance reform. There's only disclosure, right?
Right.
So what have you been up to with your own campaign these days regarding that?
The governor last week, Friday or Saturday, had a big ball. Usually it's at Grand America. This year it wasn't. It's at Grand America. And there, the people that have contracts with the state, imagine how wrong this is. The people that have contracts with the state line up to give the governor $5,000, $10,000, $50,000, as high as $80,000 checks. I mean, I have this vision of the king sitting on the throne and the supplicants coming marching in with these special gifts of frankincense and myrrh, except in this case, they're $20,000, $25,000, $30,000 checks from the people that are doing business with the state of Utah. This is wrong. How much do you have to think about that to recognize that that's not right? If they were doing that in Mexico, we would be decrying it and calling it corruption and bad things. That's our system now. We are one of only a very few states, four, that has completely unlimited campaign contributions. So corporations and political action committees and people that have special interests can write as big a check, and they do write as big a check as you can imagine. What I've said is, you know what, I'm not playing the game this way. So I am refusing and have refused all checks from corporations, all checks from PACs, all checks from special interest, and I have returned back tens of thousands of dollars saying, you know what, you're not all bad. But when I'm making that important vote, and you're from Energy Solutions, and you've given me $5,000 or $10,000, and you put your arm around my shoulder and you say, you know, it's only one vote, and we were there for you, we'll be there for you in the next election, we just need a little help with this vote. Or it can be a lot of different agencies. I mean, when they're there, I want to look them in the face and say, give me your facts, I'll look at that, but you have no sway with me because of campaign contributions.
Well, let me play devil's advocate here about this. So what if, say, instead of, I mean, people would say it's all about disclosure, disclosure, disclosure. As long as the people know about where the contribution come from, then it's okay, right?
About 12% of the people know who the lieutenant governor of the state of Utah is, and that we even have a lieutenant governor. In order to find out where the contributions are going, you have to, A, know there's a lieutenant governor. B, you got to know his name. C, you have to know that he has a website. D, on that website, you have to be able to click just the right combination of clicks in order to find the financial contributions for candidates. It is a long, arduous process. It was hard for me to navigate the first time. So when they say disclosure, they're not talking about the front page of Slug. Or the Salt Lake Tribune or the Deseret News, they're talking about a rather obscure website that not 1% of Utah's voters have ever even heard of, never mind gone to. So this idea that they can take money from PACs and special interests and it's all reported, yeah, it's reported to who? Regular, normal taxpayers and citizens and students and workers aren't going to look that up and aren't going to know.
Right now, so one, as obviously said, you know, there's a young people show. So, are there any races? I know you're in a pretty heated seat, per se. You know, downtown Salt Lake City, very, very, you know, heavily Republican. No, are there any like seats or any races right now that will definitely be affected by the youth vote
for Congress?
Okay,
this is the person we send back to Washington. It's Mia Love versus Doug Owens.
Okay.
You've never seen two candidates with a bigger contrast. Wayne Owens says the core of everything in the United States of America is education. That's where we need to go. He has said that he is for continued available student loans. Mia Love has said end student loans. and student loans. What planet does Mia Love live on? End student loans and abolish the Department of Education.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, as Mitt Romney said during the presidential debate, you know what? If you don't have enough money for school, go talk to your parents. And maybe in Mitt's world of houses that have elevators for their cars, that's fine. It is good advice. Go talk to your parents. For a lot of people, that's not an option, Mitt. Mm-hmm. You know, parents are having a tough enough time as it is, and they're helping all they can. And if they can help you pay the cell phone, it's a good thing. Not come up with $7,000 or $8,000 or $9,000 or $12,000 or $20,000 a year to help pay tuition. So that contrast between Doug Owens, who is a terrific man who really understands working people, actually brought himself up by the bootstraps, went to Yale, the law school, and always worked his entire professional life for the good side, if you ask me, and Mia Love, who simply just swallows all this right-wing extremist kind of Rush Limbaugh ideology, and she would end student loans.
Mm-hmm.
It's a stark choice. So donate money, donate time, work for Doug Owens, help him to get elected.
Okay. Are there any other races out there, or any particular district other than his? Or
well, you know, I could name some names. I'm not sure they would mean a lot. Charles Stormont, who's running for Attorney General against Sean Reyes.
I think I've heard of that Sean Reyes gentleman.
Yeah.
I believe he's the Attorney General, maybe. We call him the AG a lot.
We've had problems with the last two attorney generals.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were indicted. And now they are, the last one had to quit. His name is John Swallow. And his predecessor, who was his good friend and kind of passed along the job to him, was also indicted. And they were doing things, it's alleged, like, can you imagine this? There was a bad guy.
Okay.
They were prosecuting him. And he's a very rich bad guy, though. And he had a place, a beach house in Newport Beach, which is a very swanky part of the coast north of L.A. Mm. It's quite a resort there called Pelican Bay.
I've heard of that, yeah, yeah.
So the man who is responsible for prosecuting people asked if he and the attorney general and their wives could go down and stay at this $1,500 a night Pelican Bay resort of the guy they are prosecuting. And the guy they're prosecuting says, sure. And paid the airfare of the ex-attorney general and, well, the two ex-attorney generals and their wives for several visits down there. And it wasn't enough that they stayed there. They also signed for things.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't sign for any wine, but they signed for a lot of meals. They signed not only for golf fees, $200, $250 a round, but at the pro shop, they signed for hundreds and hundreds of dollars, and they signed so that the guy they're prosecuting picked up the bill. Over $100,000.
Really?
During these visits. And then when it all came out, they said, well, this has nothing to do with us prosecuting him. You know, why would you think that?
No, of course. Hold on. Were they wearing mustaches at the time and like twirling them at the same time? Oh, good sir. No, we are impartial as it comes.
That's why we get, that's why this unlimited flow of money where anybody can slip as much money into your hands as they can shove in there. And that's how the whole system works.
Mm.
And it's got to stop. It has to stop. There's too much money sloshing around Utah's elections.
But sir, E.G. Reyes is not a member of that scandal, right? Right. So he's not affiliated with that. So why still vote for Stormont?
So what happened is the indicted attorney general quit.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, before he was indicted. So that left it up to the governor of the same party as the two previous attorney generals to pick the new attorney general, given some names by the central committee of the same party. And so the governor picked somebody who now is the attorney general, and he's running. And I'm saying, look, the whole system is wrong. We need a new approach. We need a new system. We need a new person. We need some dramatic change in there. And Sean Reyes is collecting a lot of money from a lot of the same kinds of groups that were before. And we need to make a complete clean wash of the attorney general. The attorney general ought to be above reproach And we've had two bad ones. This one looks fair, looks decent, looks honorable, looks decent. But it's time that we made a full change and shook up that whole office and the way we do business with the Attorney General. And I'm not sure Sean Reyes can do that.
Now, would you support, say, in the future, something like depoliticizing the Attorney General's office, like having it appointed as opposed to just having, you know, somebody elected as a Democrat or Republican, but making it a professional job as opposed to a political job?
Well, the problem with that is we end up... So imagine now, go back to Grand America, okay, where the king governor, and look, this could be a Democrat as well as a Republican, because mm-hmm, whoever's got that level of power is going to attract the money from all the people that do business with the state.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine this throne of power, and then suddenly somebody says, this person who's collecting checks for the governor says, oh, by the way, not only do we grant contracts and make laws and at least get involved in the making of laws and write the state budget and do a lot of other things, we also appoint the Attorney General. I mean, I see some difficulties with that because depending on how we get this person, if the governor appoints the Attorney General, then I don't think we've gone far. Some states, for example, the Supreme Court justices pick the Attorney General. I'm not sure how that should go.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the best thing is letting the people decide.
Okay.
Now's the time to plan for the 2015 Sundance Film Festival, taking place January 22nd through February 1st in Park City, Salt Lake City, Ogden, and Sundance, Utah. Be the first to see iconic films like Reservoir Dogs, Memento, and the Oscar-nominated Beasts of the Southern Wild that have all premiered in years past. Find out more by visiting sundance.org/festival.
Hi, it's Bill Allred, and while you've been playing with yourself, I've been interviewing people for the Let's Go Eat show. Here's an example of what I'm talking about.
Artie Fufkin, when did you start?
Actually, I was your second intern back in 1992. I was there from the freaking beginning, and you always scared me. You made me cry every freaking morning. Made me cry.
I did not.
I cried on the way home. I cried on the way there every day. I was crying.
Why?
You made me cry. I couldn't please you.
Download the Let's Go Eat show now. It's available on iTunes and the letsgoeatshow.com.
So as we said earlier, you know, you're a senator, you deal with legislation. Are there any bills being talked about that, you know, will affect people, that young people on the Hill directly, or anything that's like going to be big? I mean, we had this recent thing, I don't know if you heard, Senator, about the overturning of a court case. I believe it's called Kitchen versus Herbert. Have you heard about it?
You know, the gays, you give them one thing and they want the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. Then they want marriage and they want to be able to adopt. And they are acting like they should be equal with everybody else.
How dare they? How dare you, sir?
You know, that is the next step, that they're just going to say flat out, we, the homosexuals and trans community and bisexuals, we want to be treated just like every other Utahn. I mean, that's the cliff we're looking down if marriage is allowed.
I know. I mean, it's just crazy. It's like, as if, you know, they want to be treated like humans, right? How dare we? How dare they ask for such a thing, you know?
Well, I don't know where we're going to go, but I think of interest to young people, in particular, liquor laws. There are some proposals that would make liquor tougher to get, put more enforcement officers. As far as I'm concerned, our regulations in Utah fall into two categories. There are the legitimate regulations. We don't want people driving drunk.
Right.
We don't want people getting into situations where they break the law because they're drunk.
Right.
You know, shootings and violence and things happen. So you have the legitimate public safety interests of the state of Utah on one side. And then on the other side, you have a lot of regulations that are just weird, that make Utah less competitive in attracting good new jobs here because we look weird.
Mm-hmm.
And it keeps tourists away because they think we're weird. So I'm okay with the public safety issue, liquor laws. But on the weird laws, I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
We have a law, for example, that says you must state an intent to dine in a restaurant before you can be served alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
So we went with that rule for many years. But recently they hired 30 new enforcement officers that didn't have a lot to do. So they went around to restaurants in stings and waited, because the order must be, hi, welcome to the restaurant. Are you intending to dine? Mm-hmm. And then if they say yes, then you say, would you like a drink? So restaurants were actually saying, hello, would you like a drink? Mm-hmm. Before they said, do you intend to dine?
Hmm.
Restaurants were fined substantial amounts. Some of them were even suspended because they got the order wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The message that went out and goes out every time somebody in a Utah restaurant is asked, do you intend to dine? People look and say, well, what the hell do you think? I am here in a restaurant. What do you think I'm here to bowl? You know, but that's the law. Mm-hmm. And you close a restaurant for a couple of weeks and give them a healthy fine, you do them substantial problem.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the intent to dine issue, which is a weirdness issue. We have the so-called Zion curtain, where restaurants can serve alcohol. People can take an order. Restaurant can bring the order out. But there must be an 8-foot high barrier between the customers of the restaurant and the people who are preparing the drinks.
Mm-hmm.
That's called the Zion curtain. Well, how does that make one person safer?
Well, sir, if children see that, then they immediately want that. I mean, come on. It's like candy, right? That's exactly what they want. You see, they're shaking it, and they're shaking it. You know, they want that. That's exactly what, I mean, it's logic, right?
Yeah, that's where it goes. So a reason to get involved is to help with our liquor laws and mm-hmm. make sure they get evened out and that they get straightened out. The state of Utah in 2008, I know that was before you were born, Alex, but, you know, 2008, the state paid for about 57% of the cost of higher education at our 9 state institutions. 57. Think of that.
Okay.
57.
Okay.
Now we pay 36%.
That's less than.
So exactly. So what the state of Utah has said to its kids is, buzz off.
Mm.
Budgets have been cut, but not that seriously at our state universities and colleges. Well, so what's happened is we have forced our young people to loans. We have forced them into long-term loans, 10-year, 15, sometimes 20-year loans, where they're going to be paying $700 or $800 a month to pay for these loans, because the state of Utah advocated its responsibility to educate its young people. It has been a terrible move by greedy Tea Party people that believe that education should be a private affair, because they're Mitt Romney kind of people. They don't understand. Why don't you just go to your parents and get the money for college?
Mm-hmm.
So that has affected and will be affecting young people in our state for 10 or 15 years.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm 26, right? I graduated in 2011. Had about $11,000-$12,000 debt. Decided to get involved in political work, which is wonderful, but doesn't pay great because, you know, it's politics. It's all politics. Anyways, I should be, you know, looking at buying a house, buying a car, but I don't do that because I need to pay off my student loans, because that's the first and foremost thing that doesn't. If I were to, say, one day file for bankruptcy, that sticks with me. It doesn't go anywhere.
There's no discharging it.
No. I mean, it was worth the public education. However, you know, I mean, I saw my tuition double from the time I got involved at the University of Utah in 2007 to the time I graduated in 2011. It pretty much doubled, and which, I mean, I think it's an unfortunate thing, and I know it has continued to rise.
Because the legislature, look, I'm an old guy.
Mm-hmm.
The generation before me created these institutions. It's not all of them, but mm-hmm. some of them. And they funded them, and they recognized that it is an obligation that the current generation has to the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
So we had gone many, many years since statehood in 1896 of recognizing that our primary obligation is to educate the young people of our state. But the greedy legislators now have decided, you know what, that's up to the kids themselves. Mm-hmm. That's not our responsibility. Let them pay for their own education. So unlike the great gift we have been given, meaning my generation,
mm-hmm.
we're not passing it along. We're saying, hey, kid, you're on your own. Good luck to you.
Mm-hmm.
My campaign manager, has a master's degree in health. He is going to be paying $800 a month for 14 years in order to pay back the $70,000 that it took to get through the master's program at the U.
Mm-hmm.
Is that good for an economy? Is that good for America? Is that good for Utah?
Well, no, I mean, that $800 you could be spending on a very swanky car or a house, a trip to the Caribbean or something like that. No, I mean, so is there any plan to, like, how, because, I mean, it's nice to talk about, you know, education, funny education. How do they plan on doing that?
Well, it's simple. We just have the kids pay. Mm-hmm. You know, we will. And on K through 12 education, the state has been a complete catastrophe.
Mm-hmm.
While we haven't kept up to the promise for our higher ed kids, K through 12 is in a catastrophe. 30 years, we have been 50th in the country for state funding. So we're spending about $6,200 per child per year. The next state, the Mississippis, the Alabamas, the Tennessees, are spending $7,000.
Mm-hmm.
They're spending almost $1,000, the bottom, the next one. I mean, we're in our own special category. We're $800 or $900 away from the next highest state because our state legislature simply refuses to fulfill our responsibility. We have the biggest classrooms in America. We have declining scores.
Mm-hmm.
Our high school graduation rate has dipped 6.3%. We're only one of two states that that's happened. Our whole commitment, we pay our teachers the lowest wage per student in any place. Our whole state commitment to education has been overtaken by this kind of selfish, greedy attitude. And for that, we need young people to do two things. First, get aware of the facts. Then get involved in the political process and vote. Damn it, vote. You know, the other side is voting.
Mm-hmm.
Gail Ruzicka and her group that want to ban all things and who are there to do what I think is harm, they vote. Their people are ready. We need to get involved. Even if you don't know everything, you can still register and vote now.
Right. And where would they go to, you know, find information about candidates?
You know, if you go down to, you can vote today.
Mm-hmm.
If you go down to 21st South and State to the city county building, you can just go in and register and vote the same day.
Hmm.
So that's a new plan and a new policy today. And it's pretty simple. I mean, I don't want to get too complicated here. Democrats have things that appeal to young people mm-hmm. in Utah. Republicans, not so much. So it's easy. Just vote for the Democrats.
Oh, but really, really, go to you know, utah.vote.gov. To go find more information about candidates, disclosure.utah.gov for in case you wanted to find out who they're being paid by.
Right.
There's a bunch of other websites. Just Google it. Google it, guys. Google it.
Or just be simple. Vote for all the Democrats.
Oh, sir.
Give me a Republican that is better than a Democrat in any race. I mean, I'm just not seeing it out there.
I will give you one, sir.
Okay.
John Huntsman. I love that man more than, I mean, I loved Bob Springmeier. He's a very, very nice gentleman, but I love me some John Huntsman. I mean, I don't agree with his tax policy whatsoever. I don't agree with, but I mean, he fought for modernizing our liquor laws. He fought for modernizing Utah, stopping making us so icky.
And you know, it was funny when John ran for president, he was up on the stand with these Mitt Romney and John Huntsman, kind of two Utah guys, or at least with Utah ties, were out of this band of 8 really weird people. Mm-hmm. Remember the 999 guy, and you had Rick Perry on there and Michelle Bachman. I mean, these are really strange creatures.
Right.
Santorum, Newt Gingrich, and the two most rational were the two guys from Utah. Mm-hmm. So that shows you how bad the Republican Party is nationally when the two-ish normal guys are from Utah, including John. John wouldn't have been a bad president.
No. I'll give you another one. Actually, your counterpart on KCPW, Representative Hughes, he's a nice guy.
Greg is very conservative.
Yes, he is, but he's nice. I mean,
he's a nice guy.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. I mean, I don't know about who I'd vote for in his race. I mean, Kyle's a pretty nice guy, too, but he's pretty cool. I mean, I disagree with him on lots of things, pretty much everything. Yeah, everything. But no.
Look, get a thirst, get a hunger to get involved in politics.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm going to tell you one of the reasons why tuition was raised so much since 2008. My generation, the old hippies, the old sit-in, the old tear this town apart kind of generation, we wouldn't have put up with it. We would have been sitting in that president's office so long, we would have been chanting, there would have been demonstrations. Your generation has so many good things, and they are so oriented toward the environment and toward peace and toward so many great things, but they're pretty mellow. Mm-hmm. And so, consequently, if you're a legislator and you can raise the old fat guys or not raise their taxes at all, mm-hmm. and not do anything to them and stick more onto the young people, because the old people vote and they yell and holler. Mm-hmm. The young folks, you know, the under 35-ish, they're, when it comes to politics, they're pretty passive. They're not all that involved. So I'm just saying, mm-hmm. get out. Take a look. You can change the world if you get out and get involved, and don't get scared away by not knowing everything and seeing every website. I'm saying the first step is just find a place and go vote, and to make it easy, vote for Democrats.
Well, and I would counter this. I mean, I understand. Like, I'm a strong believer, right, in direct action, right? That's one of the things that I primarily believe. I think that in order for people to bring change, voting is one thing, direct action is another thing. That's why I, you know, get involved with all the politics stuff, right? I mean, one of the things that drives me crazy about politics is it's not sexy. That's the problem. It's not like you're talking about education. We're talking about dollars. We're talking about figures. We're talking about percentages.
Right.
We're not talking about all these big changes and these lofty goals. We're talking about the nitty gritty. And that's one thing that I really hope that my generation, you know, goes and brings about is trying to take these grand nitty gritty ideas into a sexier sort of communication kind of thing. Because we, you know, I'm a Democrat as well. I'll admit that on here. But I mean, you know, we're not the best at communicating these grand ideas that make it sound good. I mean, Republicans, it's all about, you know, they're taking our jobs, they're taking this. But, you know, Democrats, you know, we want to talk about logic and we want to talk about reason. And that's not always, you know, brought to the forefront. So
get out, mm-hmm. get registered, go vote, get involved, and you can change the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, other people are going to decide your future. The tuition is going to continue to go up. Student loans are going to continue to go up. We ought to be looking at student loan forgiveness, mm-hmm. not increases in the interest rate of student loans, as they're talking about now, or not making any future student loans available. Talk about creating a bifurcation between real people and rich people. Do away with all student loans and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Are the Huntsmans going to stop going to college, the Huntsman kids or the Romney kids? No, they're going to be going.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the poor, struggling, normal, working family that isn't going to be able to afford to go without student loans.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, Senator, thank you so much for coming on the show, and thank you for your time.
I'm sorry to be so shy and retiring.
I know. I had to it was like pulling teeth, sir. It's like pulling teeth.
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody, for Sit Slug.
And thanks for listening to Slug Sound Waves. For all things Slug Magazine, visit slugmag.com. Send us your suggestions of what you'd like to hear on the show by emailing us at soundwaves@slugmag.com and hit us up on the Twitter at, you know, Slug Sound Waves. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine, produced by Gavin Sheehan, associate producer Alex Ortega, Christian Schultz, and John Ford. Executive producer Angela H. Brown. Theme was performed by Lindsay Heath and Mike Sasich. Main logo and art design by Nick Dowd. Technical design by Kate Colgan. And thank you for listening.